We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Charlamagne Tha God. Yo, Bud wanted to sit there. Bud wanted to sit in your seat. And he said, if you want him to move, you got to make a move.
He right where he needs to be.
Bud said he want to sit in your seat. And if you want him to move, make a move.
Hey,
that's what he said.
He right where he need to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the champion, Terrence Crawford, ladies and gentlemen. Charlamagne,
congrats, man.
Would you like to say anything?
Sure. I mean, I gave myself donkey today.
I apologize.
He said apologize
for a wrong sports pick.
And say you a loser.
Say it all.
Listen, I don't know if an apology is necessary, but I was dead wrong.
Say you sorry for being dead wrong.
I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize. Okay. For picking Earl Spence over you.
He picked Earl Spence way early on.
I did. The most impressive thing about the fight was everything I thought Earl Spence would do to beat you, you neutralized it.
Right.
Like every single thing. Took away his jab. His size didn't matter. You were clearly stronger. You hurt him.
And I asked you, I said, how you feel that he's stronger than me?
But that was before I saw the video of you deadlifting how much was that, 400 pounds?
Like four something.
Four something. I didn't know you. I really didn't know that you had that type
he
of
He slept on you, Terrence.
Man, shut up. You don't even watch boxing.
I'm a casual boxing fan. I seen that fight. So, but let me ask you a question. I know it seemed like it felt good because you had so many doubters and so many haters, people that didn't believe in you. So did you feel like that was your
That's
time?
That's not true. He was up in Vegas.
Could you let this brother talk?
That's Vegas.
Yeah, but there's plenty of people picking you
Did you feel
to win.
Like there was a lot of people that doubted you, hated on you, especially from the culture?
Absolutely. You know, there was a lot of people doubting me and saying the same thing that he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure he didn't base his opinion off of his own knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He based his opinion off of what people were saying.
Oh, no, no. That was based off what I saw.
So, yeah, but, you know, when you start seeing this and this and this and everybody keeps saying, oh, well, he's big, he's strong, and everybody keeps saying that, and then you see him fight, you know, then you're like, all right, well, this dude is big and strong. And so you start believing the hype, you know. So he didn't do his own homework, just like everybody else. So then you get a lot of people in the comments. You get a lot of people, you know, on social media. You get a lot of people in interviews. They say, oh, well, Terrence Small, because I'm skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's small, he's little, he's coming from 135. And they go with that narrative, you know. And then when the fight happened, then everybody, they shocked, they surprised. They like, man, wow. But not giving me the credit for knocking out every opponent that I faced in the welterweight division.
Was it an easy fight for you?
I wouldn't say it's easy because, you know, I trained so fucking hard for that fight, you know, and I put the work in. And it may look easy on TV, but there's a lot that goes into fighting.
I mean, you were screaming at other people in the ring in the middle of your fight. Like, it
was
just
screaming at Jermell Charlo, man.
Charlo, he was screaming at other people, too. It was you just seemed like you knew you had this from the door.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was in my moment, you know. And like I said, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to live in it, and I'm going to, you know, capture it.
You have to admit this was your best performance ever in the ring.
I wouldn't say that. You know, I would say it's my best performance against the level of competition that it was, because I feel I had a lot of great performances that I was slept on. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, he looked good in that fight, but this guy, they just always discredit me, you know, for my performances. All right, well, this guy was this, or this guy was that, or that guy wasn't on his level. So given the performance that I had against a level of competitor like Errol Spence, then that's when everybody give me my respect now.
So is this a revenge tour? Are you just going to go around to all the media outlets who said that Errol...
he should.
That Errol was going to win and make him apologize? That's what you...
Nah, man, I just want to, you know what I mean, see your face, because you was one of the main people, you know, not the last time, but way when I first came on here. Like,
I've always thought Errol... Oh, not discrediting you in any way. Just saying, I always thought Earl would win if y'all fought each other.
Yeah, so I just had to see your face, you know, sit in your chair and, you know, make you appreciate greatness that's sitting next to you.
Now, let me
How's
ask
life
you.
Been since the fight, though?
Oh, it's been cool. It's
you feel like you're a household name now, boxing wise?
I feel like I am. Mm-hmm. I became that in that one night, but I should have been, you know, where I am now. But things happen for a reason. Some things I just wouldn't change, but some things I would change. But, you know, I'm just happy and blessed that I'm able to, you know, get to this point where we at right now.
Well, the rematch happened sooner or later, and I mean, I know you've heard the commentary after the fight. Even like Stephen A. Smith believes Errol should retire. What's your thoughts after fighting him, you know?
Well, I don't think he should retire. I think he should take a little time off. You know, get his mind right, and, you know, get back in the gym and get back focused, because, you know, I never took a loss in the professional rankings, but I know how that can affect you mentally, you know, being at this high level and losing the way you lost. You know, you start questioning yourself, you start asking yourself certain questions. Do I still got it? Am I getting old? Am I slipping? You start asking yourself all different type of questions that you got to answer. So I just, you know, would tell him, you know, you're a great fighter. Take a little time off and come back and, you know, do it again. But don't rush.
Have you spoke to him? Have you spoke to him after?
No, I sent him a text message. Sent him a text message, check up on him.
Did he reply?
Yeah, he replied. You know? Like I told everybody, I don't hate Errol Spence. Like, I'm a fan of Errol Spence. Like, you know, it was just business at the end of the day.
I know he has a rematch clause, but if it was up to you, like you, if you had to pick whether or not he got a rematch, would you want him to have a rematch? Would you give him a rematch?
Of course, of course. You know, because I felt like he was a big factor in this fight getting made. Like I said, You know, without him, you know, well, both of us coming together, you know, and we was to leave everything to our handlers and and promoters and advisors, managers, this fight would never happen. I feel like it was me and Errol Spence, like, all right, you want this? All right, cool. You want that? All right, cool. I'm cool with this. You cool with that, you know? And us two putting our pride to the side and just coming together and making this event happen.
What are some things about the your newfound fame that you don't like?
I haven't got to that point yet. I'm still I'm still chill. I still do the same thing that I've been doing before the fight. You know, I still do the same routine. I ain't changed up nothing. I ain't on a high horse. I don't feel like I'm something different just because I won a fight. So nothing has really changed for me.
Why do you think people doubted you the way that they did? Like, I looked at...
Why do you keep saying
that? I'm going to say that because a lot of people did.
That type, it wasn't that level of doubt in no way, shape, or... No, it wasn't.
A lot of people did. But I was going to even, like, you know, even listening to Shakur Stevenson, right, and him saying that he thought he was great. He thought he was the nicest until he fought you. And then when after he said he sparred with you, he was like, damn, there's a lot that I need to work on. Why do people feel that way?
When they in a ring with me? I just think, you know, my experience... You know, my level of competition that I've faced that led me to, you know, overcome adversity. You know, when I'm in the ring, I'm a thinking man. So you can be more athletic than me. You can be faster than me. You can be stronger than me. You can be more powerful. But I'm going to find a way to get the advantage over you because I'm going to outthink you. Boxing is a thinking man sport. So the number one thing that I have over a lot of fighters is my mind, the way I think, the way I capitalize on your mistakes, the way that when you do something wrong, you know, I recognize it and I make you pay. You know, so when I'm in there with Shakur, you know, it's a chess match, you know, because Shakur is a thinking man as well. So it's definitely a chess match, and you know, that's something that, you know, I love, he loved, because now we got to be creative. We got to be, you know, we got to go in that bag and be like, man, I can't do this with him because it's not going to work. So now I got to get more creative to get a little advantage over him because we both competitive. Neither one of us want to let the other one get anything off. So, you know, that's probably what he's alluding to.
Did you carry Errol a couple rounds, man?
No, Errol.
I feel like you could have got, and I love Errol, but I feel like you could have got him out there a little bit earlier. It looked like you let off, especially in the eighth round.
No, man, you got to understand, man. Errol's a great fighter. He's very strong. He's got the heart of a lion, and you know he's very tough. You know, he just keep getting up.
Definitely kept getting up.
He like, man, I'm not giving up. I don't care what you do. I'm gonna keep getting up, and I'm gonna keep fighting. So, you know. Yeah, he did what he had to do to last the time that he lasted.
You think the ref should have stopped it?
Yes.
The ref did stop it.
Right, yeah. But you think he should have stopped it at that time? Because even when he stopped it, Errol was, you know, put his hands up like, I'm still going. Do you think that was the time to stop the fight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think that his corner should have stepped in the seventh round. You know, I feel as if, you know, they believed in Errol, but at the same time, they should have saved the fighter from himself. Because us fighters, we going to keep fighting until there's no fight left. But at the point where, you know, they see that there's no possible way for him to win, now they banking on something lucky.
Knockout.
Dramatic to happen, you know. And that can cause for serious damage and want to get hurt in a way where they can't come back from.
Were you concerned about that? Because there's been these rumors that, you know, neurologically something is off with Errol. So were you concerned about that as you were fighting him? Like, did you see any of that in the ring?
No. Not at all, you know, because when I'm in the ring, I'm in kill mode. You know, it's not my job to let up. You know, it's my job to hurt you because we're in a hurt game. And if I was in that situation, he would be thinking the same. Now afterwards, yeah, I'm gonna be like, damn, you know, I'm feel sorry for you. I'm check up on you because at the end of the day, we all doing it for the same reason, to take care of our family and provide for, you know, our little ones. He got a beautiful family that I would never want to take him away from, you know. So, yeah, I just, you know, wish him well. And, you know, that's pretty much how it go.
Right. So what you going to do next? Because Jermell Charlo is getting his script of his belts. And I know you wanted that to become, what, three undisputed champion in three divisions, right?
Right.
So if, when that happens, what you going to do? Who you want to fight now?
I don't know. I'm just sitting back, exploring my options.
Is Jermell off the table for good if you don't have the belt?
No, no, not at all. I hope he come back and him and Tim Zoo fight, and I fight the winner. But I really, you know what I mean, want to fight him.
So with that, is that the end game? Like, let me get these, get the belt to become the undisputed champion in this division, and then that's it.
Could be.
What about Boots? Boots is mandatory. He's calling you out now.
I don't have, listen, right now in my career, a lot of people like, boost this, boost that, boost this. You know, fighting Boots is a lose-lose situation. You know, I win, they're going to say, oh, well, he was young, he wasn't ready. You know, he was talented, he was skillful, but you got the experience over him. You got, you know, so much more than this kid that never been tested before, you know, because we always seen him win and fly in color, a fashionate way, you know, to where we say, oh man, he's cold, he's skillful, but he's never been in the ring with nobody to test him. So me fighting Boots will be like, okay, well, you beat Boots. It's not a mega fight. It's going to sell a little bit because of your name and what you just accomplished, you know, but now what? I'm looking for big challenges. You know, I'm trying to go up and wait and fight Charlo, you know, because that's something that's history in the making. It's a lot at stake. You know, there's nothing really at stake with fighting Boots. You know, I'm at the tail end of my career and I'm trying to make things make sense.
So is it about just the money?
Definitely.
Okay.
100% about the money. Not taking anything away from Boots, but, you know, where I am at in my career right now, I didn't fall my ass off to get to where I am. And I deserve to do whatever the fuck I want to do. And I don't care what nobody say, what nobody, how anybody feel, or any of that, you know, fuck them.
Do you see the comparisons when they say Crawford in his prime versus Mayweather in his prime, who would win? And what do you think about those comparisons?
Well, yeah, man, I respect it. I respect it. A lot of people always, well, Ben asking me, you know, what I think. And I always say, you know, Terrence Crawford against anybody. You know, I'm not going to say one man would do anything with me, but I respect the hell out of Floyd. He's been a fighter that I've looked up to his whole career, ever since I was a little kid, you know, and he paved the way for a lot of us fighters. So I got to always pay homage to the OG, you know what I mean? And it's great that my name has been mentioned with the greats now at the welterweight division, like Floyd, Sugar Ray Leonard, and, you know, Duran and Tommy Hearns and those fighters. So I'm getting my just due.
What media personalities motivated you for the Earl fight? Like, who were the people that you couldn't wait to go see, other than me? Oh, I saw you call a guy retarded at the end of the fight.
Oh, man. Listen, man, it's so many of them because, you know, you got these bandwagon people that's jumping on the bandwagon. And no disrespect to Earl, no disrespect for them having their own opinion, you know, but if you in the boxing game and you covering boxing as a whole, you know, you should just be neutral. Let's clean up the sport. Let's call it how it is. Let's not just call it because you like this one fighter and, you know, you don't like this other fighter because he won't give you an interview because you biased. You know, call it how it is. You know, be neutral. And, you know, I think that's what the sport needs because there's a lot of casual fans that really don't know nothing about boxing. They just watch boxing just to, you know, get some excitement and entertainment, and you putting out false information or you misleading them, and then that's where a lot of, you know, things happen, and then you be like, man, you don't know what you're talking about because you just saying what you heard, and what you heard is false. So it's a lot of, you know, boxing little podcasts and blogs that always put out negative information of Terrence Crawford, you know, just because they was Errol Spence fans. And I, you know, I fed off of that, though.
But you and Errol was a pick me, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You could go. You could win either way.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It becomes, you know, it could be a pick me, you know, call it how you call it, you know. But at the same time, don't discredit one fighter because you like another fighter. So you're trying to take all his accolades away because you like this fighter. You're trying to put false information out on this fighter because you want to, you know, get this fighter all the attention and all the recognition and stuff like that. Don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this fighter, I think, you know, he got the edge because of this. But this fighter is a great fighter as well because he accomplished this. Don't say, oh, well, he's not fighting nobody. He's fighting washed up opponents. Oh, the only reason why he beat this guy is because, you know, he was damaged good because Errol Spence already beat him and this and that and that. You know, there's no need to do that. You know, when me and Errol fight, then we're going to see who the better man is. And that's what we did on the 29th.
What you did to Errol, though, I didn't expect Errol to do that to you. But I didn't expect you to do that to Earl either. Right. I don't think nobody expected what we saw that night.
A lot of people say that. You know, a lot of people say the same thing that you say. Nobody expected it. You know, that's what's so great about it.
Did you expect that? Did you, in your mind, when you envisioned the fight, did you think it was going to go that way?
Not at all. Not at all. I didn't even expect it to go how it went. But we train for the moment. You know, we live in the moments. When they ask me, you know, about the fight, I always say, when I win, because I believe in myself, when I become undisputed. You know, it wasn't no second guessing. It wasn't no thinking. I was telling people, when I win, when I become undisputed, because I really believe that, and I really feed off of the negative energy, the negative attention, the negative comments, the non-believers, you know, the people that said I was too small, the people that said I wasn't going to be able to, you know, stand his body shots and so forth. So I fed off of that. So when I was in training and I'm tired and I don't want to do it no more, I think of all them comments. I think about the people that's in the comments that really don't mean nothing. You know, when I go looking under my pictures and everybody, oh man, you scared to fight Errol Spence, you this, you that. So I replay all that in my head, and I just, you know, it just boosts me and give me more energy, and I'm like, okay.
Didn't I say that? I said every time he hit Earl, it felt like he was hitting me. I said that. And it felt personal. It did. It felt like you was getting something off your chest in that moment.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. That was definitely a fight where, you know, like I said, after the fight, I felt relieved because now it's behind me. You know, when I got my kids asking me, you gonna fight that Spencer guy? You know, then I know it hit home. So it's like, man, this dude gotta fight. So I always try to do everything in my power and in my will to make the fight happen. And the media blame me. Out of all people, they always blame me. Oh, Terrence Crawford don't wanna make the fight. Terrence Crawford ducking, Terrence Crawford this, Terrence Crawford that. But it never was Errol Spence. It never was, you know, PBC. It was always Terrence Crawford, Top Rank, Terrence Crawford, Top Rank. So by default, I was always the blame. So, you know, once the fight got made, you know, I was just like, finally. Now we get to show the world, you know, what they've been waiting on. And it was great because it was for all the belts, you know? So that's why I told everybody it's happening at the best time, because if we'd have fought sooner, it probably wouldn't have been as big. It probably wouldn't have meant as much because we was fighting for two belts, you know? So now what, where do we go from here? You know, do we fight this guy? Do we fight that guy? Now what?
I mean, everybody keeps bringing up Canelo. I think that's weird, you know, because you'd have to gain, like, what, 20 pounds?
Yeah.
But they say that's the money fight. That's the right. mega fight. That's the money fight. That's the only thing that makes sense for Terrence Crawford.
Well, you know what I mean? Catch weight. We can do something at a catch weight.
What weight you think?
Probably, like, 160 or something.
Cause you said well, you said 154 is the highest you want to go.
Yeah, 158. Mm-hmm. 160, that'd be cool.
Also, I see... What was that conversation when you called Eminem to have Eminem bring you out? Because that was a surprise to people.
That was dope. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was just talking about, you know, what should I come out to?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking of all artists. And every song that I come out to got meaning to it for that moment when I'm fighting. And I was just thinking, I was like, dang, man, you know what would be dope? Eminem. I don't think he never walked nobody out.
Mm-hmm.
He don't really never go nowhere.
He never go outside, right?
So I was just like, man, that would be great for this great moment, you know, and for him to reply on my Instagram and say that he was a big fan. I was one of his favorite fighters. I was like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you get surprised and stuff like that when you're a fan of somebody and they're a fan of yours, but you don't know they're a fan of yours. And you're like, damn, word? All right, pull up. Like, he really pulled up.
Yeah, you told him to pull up and he pulled up.
Right. Like, let's do it. I'm like, damn, this is dope. So, like, everything leading up to the fight, you know, I felt as if it was my moment. You know, I'm normally a, you know, laid back type of dude, calm, cool, collective. You know, but when I went on that stage for the weigh-ins, I felt like it was my show. You know, I'm like, I'm here.
Yeah, the little Wayne plan.
Yeah, I'm here. You know what I mean? It took so long for me to get here, but the energy that I felt in that moment, I'm like, this is my show. I'm taking over. There's nothing he can do to stop me. And I just felt that way in my heart, my soul, like, This my show. It can say Spence Crawford. He can be the A side, but this my show.
Mm-hmm.
Do the local rappers from Omaha get upset? Like, man, why you ain't bring one of us out?
Nah, everybody always asks that, but you know what I mean? Like, I be telling them, like,
it's Eminem
the song,
dog.
The song picked me. I don't never pick the song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I be in the gym and, you know, I listen to a variety of music. I mean, from country to gospel, to rap, to R&B, all different type of music, jazz, and I put it on shuffle, and I hear a song, and I be like, dang, that's the song.
Mm-hmm.
They be like, what? I'm like, I'm coming out to that. Look at, you know what I mean?
Imagine Terrence Crawford walking out to a gospel song and then beating your ass.
Beating your ass, right?
How would that feel?
Hey, it is what it is.
We stomp.
It ain't the song, you know what I mean? It's the individual. You know, so a lot of people always, let me walk you out. Like, what you gonna walk me out to? Like, nah, that don't fit the bill. You know, you talking too much about robbing, stealing, killing, and shooting. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't what I'm standing for right now.
Canelo versus Charlo, September 30th. Who you got?
I got Canelo. I think it's going to be a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are sleeping on Charlo, but he's skillful. He's big. He's bigger than Canelo, even though Canelo at a higher weight. I think Canelo gonna be stronger than him. I think Canelo gonna be more powerful than him. But at the same time, I think Charlo got the boxing skills to make it a competitive fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he uses jab, straight punches, and don't get caught up with all the feints and stuff that Canelo throw. I think it'd be competitive.
Canelo versus Crawford at 158. Who wins?
Crawford. Come on, man. Hey, listen.
What do you think, Charlamagne? What do you think?
Hey, man.
You want to make a prediction
know.
Again?
That's one of them ones, but I'm just going to sit back and watch it.
And we already had it.
He'll come back to get you again.
158. That's the fight, though.
Right.
Like, that's the fight. Like, I mean, I can't see, there's nobody else out there for you. I can't see any, when we talking mega fights and, you know, where you are now, I don't see, who else would make sense?
Yeah.
Have there been talks? Has the conversation started?
No, you know, they already focused on what they got in front of them, that's Jermell. Mm-hmm. So I would never, you know, try to interfere in what they got going on right now.
Mm-hmm. How many more fights you think you got left? If you had to guess, you'd be what? You'd be about to be 37, 36?
36.
36? Okay. Two, three?
Shit, I don't know, man. I'm healthy as could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm healthy as could be, man. I probably can fight till I'm like 45. Yeah, but at the same time, I always said I want to retire at 33. Mm-hmm. I always said I want to retire from boxing. I never wanted boxing to retire me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I always looked at all the old fighters and, you know, felt bad because a lot of them made a lot of money. A lot of money. It was great, you know, but we walking in the same room, mm-hmm. nobody noticed them. Mm-hmm. You know, they talking with slur and they really can't hold a conversation with you mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of the damage that they accumulated in boxing. And I'm like, man, I never want to be like that. I want to be able to enjoy my fruits from my hard labor. I want to be able to go outside and play basketball with my kids. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to, you know, tell my story without somebody else telling it because I can't speak. You know, so, yeah, boxing is definitely been good to me. And I'm a retire on top.
How do you not lead with ego? Like, if you hear somebody like Tank say, 147, I knock Bud out.
Well, he just talking. Mm-hmm. You know, he got the confidence in himself that he believed that he can do that because he's been knocking all these fighters out mm-hmm. that he's been in the ring with. You know, so no knock to Tank, but there's definitely levels. Mm-hmm. You know, and if he come up to 147 and he's thinking he's just going to knock Terrence Crawford out, got another thing coming.
So that's the fight you would make happen? If he wanted to come up to 147?
Yeah, I'd stay at 147 for him. Cause that's a big money
fight. That's a big fight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a big money fight, you know. Yeah.
So Spence...
But then what? Everybody going to say he was too small. Nobody going to give me credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, man, you beat up a little guy that's fight at 135. You know, yeah, Tank like 5'5". Mm-hmm. You know, he's a little guy. You know, yeah, he can punch, mm-hmm. but in his weight class, not saying that he can't punch in any weight class because he punching. Mm-hmm. And we see that, you know, but what type of recognition I'm going to get for, you know, beating up on Tank? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know. 135, 147 is a big jump. Mm-hmm. You know, that's almost 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Well, 22.
12.
Mm-hmm. 12. Yeah, 12. 12 pounds. You know, so that's a big jump.
So for you, it's all about legacy and money at this point?
100%.
It's not too much legacy for you?
My legacy is already set in stone.
Yeah.
You know, before, when you look at my career, I was already, you know, going to the Hall of Fame without Spence. Without Spence. I'm already flying in the sunset. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I didn't accomplish yet is the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in boxing that Terrence Crawford haven't accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, you made history. You're undisputed two-division champion.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about without Spence.
Yeah.
You know? So now that that fight have happened and now that I made history again, you know, now what?
It's about the money, man. Is Spence Crawford 2 a mega fight? I don't know if that's a mega fight anymore, but that's your fault.
It is what it is, man. We're gonna figure it out. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we is going to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure it out. And if not, then, you know, it is what it is. I had my moment.
So what are you doing for the next months? How are you spending your time?
Oh, man, I'm just chilling, man, with mm-hmm. my family, you know. That's pretty much it. I'm going to go on a little vacation. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. I don't really do too much. Mm-hmm. Try to take a fishing trip. I love to fish. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to go deep sea fishing or something like that.
Wait on Canelo at 158.
All right.
That's the fight.
All right.
Canelo Crawford, 158. Or Crawford Canelo, I don't, you know, 158. That's the fight. Who you got, Red? I'm just gonna sit back and observe.
Now you shut up.
I'm gonna sit back and observe.
We'll see next time he comes. He's probably gonna take your chair again. The champ can sit in the chair.
The champ can sit in the chair.
For sure.
Well, I appreciate you for coming and joining us. Appreciate you so much. I still offered you. I ain't got $30 million, but if you take a little extra, you just want to
man. Why would he? Why would he punch somebody for free at this point?
Just one time. Just might be gratification. You know,
he's the champ. He's the guy. We know this already.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Terrence Crawford. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you, brother.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk, get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.